So, Mark Williams from Aberystwyth Town, thanks for joining us from your lockdown lair. How does it look with you at the moment?
It's quite frustrating at the minute, isn't it? It's really difficult. Just trying to get in routine more than anything, and spend a lot of time with the children and things like that. So, just trying to do as much as I can, fitness wise, and just trying, like I said, get in that routine where. You're not getting bored, and you're just being there with a positive mindset, and hoping this is over sooner rather than later.
Of course, apart from the football that you play for Aberystwyth Town, you've got football related businesses you're involved in, like after school clubs and stuff like that. So it's probably gone from a very busy time for you to a very quiet time.
It has, yeah. My self employment job is, like they say, after school clubs, multi sport clubs, got my half term camps, do one to one coaching, and Saturday morning, mini kicks, mighty kicks, Thursday evening, the same. And so, yeah, I've gone from being here, there, and everywhere to obviously being in lockdown, which is difficult. And, from a personal point as well, difficult with, being self employed, obviously income at the moment. Nothing, and same with the football stopping as well. So tough times at the moment. I'm not the only one in that boat. I'm sure there's plenty out there in the same boat, and it's one of them. Hopefully we can get through it, like I said, sooner rather than later, and start preparing for getting back to normality and get back working really.
So let's turn to the football then. Describe how you guys at Aberystwyth felt the moment you knew it was going to be frozen. And what you thought you could have achieved if football had continued for normal at that point?
Tough one, I think, this season. I think we've been inconsistent. We've had good runs, and you think, here we go, if we can build on this, we can maybe push for that seventh spot. But in key parts in the season where we've lost that game that the importance of 3 points could have given us. I think Cardiff Met was one. Where we lost 3-1 after the sending off and the penalty, and their games could, with them going for seventh spot as well, that was a big 3 points. It kind of put a big distance between us and them. Before the break happened, we got a disappointing result to Penabont, lost 1-0 after a great performance against Airbus the week before. And like I say, that's been the season, one good week followed by a poor week. So really, I think it was a case of the new lads had brought something to the changing room. We picked up form. I think changing rooms changed a lot, which is good. And from my point of view, it was trying to finish the season as strongly as we could as a unit, and then push on for next year, hoping that a lot of the players would stay, add a bit more to it, and then we could start next season firing on all the cylinders.
Not wanting to use a cliche, but were you a team in transition this season?
I think so, yeah. I mean, at the start of the season when we looked at the squad, it looked like maybe we could compete. Having a chat earlier on in the season with yourself, and I said if we started well, we could do that. It's a funny old game, the semi-professional, and the way contracts are, you can lose players, gain players, and we lost a few early on. I think Rio Amadi left, and then the centre-half, Ben Birch had left. I think Stefan left halfway through. So before you know it, your squad can change quite quickly in that first 2 months, and then you're stuck with what you've got till January. I think we lost a few that could have made an impact. And then we had a couple of injuries. I know my strike partner Boundy got injured, and we had started the season really well together and had a good partnership going, and then. Things like that can put a lot of pressure. People playing out of position, and it was quite. I think January came at a good time for everyone at Aberystwyth. Certainly myself as well. I felt myself in a bit of a goal drought, and the new lads brought something. Like I said, it's changed on the pitch and off the pitch. So I think like you say, being in transition, and I think our squad's stronger now. Like I said, if we can keep a few, add a few more, and hopefully next season we can do better than we have this year.
I always used to call you the Jekyll and Hyde team this season on the podcast. What does that do to you guys mentally, in the sense of knowing that the side you face in front of you, everybody's expecting you to beat them 2-0, but then they go and beat you 2-0?
it's extremely tough, to be honest. And it's one thing, you know, I've struggled with that this year because you just don't quite know. You know, it is mixed emotions. You're turning up to some games where you're favourites and you know, you get a poor result and you lose and you're thinking we haven't turned up there. Then, you know, we play Coniskey at home, draw 1-1 and, you know, really could have won the game. So we are that team where you just don't quite know what we're going to get. But like I said, that can be really tough. You know, I've struggled with that as well, being captain, because try and maybe change your approach during games, half time, after games. You know, do you go more vocal? Do you try and get the lads up a bit more? Do you go a bit further and give them a bit of a kick? But it's difficult because, you know, there's different personalities and sometimes you don't know what's going to work with that. So it's been a big learning curve for myself to how to approach it. And I just felt like just before the break, slowly getting there with certain individuals and certain players and seems to be coming together a little bit better. So yeah, disappointed we've stopped, but hopefully when we get back out there, we've got 6 games to, if we can build a bit of momentum, because, you know, I'm not sure the way it's going to go, but it'll probably be straight into then the season with not too much of a break, and then we could be ready for that. So I think signs are good, as long as, you know, we can keep the players, which has always been difficult for Aberystwyth with where it's situated.
It's always a captain's job sometimes to lead by example in those situations, and I can think back to the positive scorelines that there were, and 9 times out of 10 we'd find you on the score sheet in multiple times. Do you feel that as a captain, sometimes the best way is to, if I can score 2, then the people behind me will score 2 and they'll come and join me?
Like I say, I think with myself, it can be quite difficult in a lot of ways. People do expect goals. You know, everyone seems to look at how many goals I score. And as a number 10, I know that, you know, there will be goal droughts. There'll be a lot of games that I might not get chances. And I had that spell in October, November, you know, I started the season really well scoring, and then before I knew it, I just felt I wasn't getting any chances. So that can be tough, because you when you're a captain, people are looking for you to lift them up. And I know myself that if I'm going through a goal drought, then, you know, I'm not quite the same as well. So at times I've had to really, you know, say to myself, come on, keep going. And, you know, I remember when an example, Paulo Mendes, we beat Airbus 5-1 at their place. He scored 2. And although I played well, you know, it was he was exceptional as a number 9 that day, scored 2 himself. And as a captain, it made me realise, you know, it's not all about my performances or how I am. It's the case of the team. And, you know, I've learned that a lot this year. So, you know, I gave a lot of praise to Paolo and other individuals. Did a little bit on the side in terms of texting them and just trying to G them up as well, because they're playing better and they're performing, there is less pressure on me, like you say, to get them goals. So then when I did start scoring again, it was nice, because then it was kind of like, you know, they've slotted in, scored a few goals, and, you know, when I was out of form. So then when I came back into form, it was a bit less pressure on them. But I think that's what I've learned most this year. It's, you know, I've always played as a team the way I work and the way I link up the play, but it's more been off the field that I've learned that, in terms of, you know, let other people have their moment and, you know, really big that up for them.
So where are you in terms of the season, Mark? Is it time to call it quits and decide on a points per game? Do you think you still have 7 or 8 more games left in you?
In terms of what we're going to do next, you mean? To be honest, I think at the bottom end, it's just important to try and find out who gets the 7th spot you know, it's the UEFA places and the Champions League place that's, you know, that we need to finish in terms of, and the ones who are going to stay up, isn't it? We're kind of in that bit of no man's land. We're a bit too far away maybe from 7th, and, you know, we're just off the relegation until we've got 7 or 8 points advanced of that. So, you know, I'm sure there's teams that would really want to get back to it. You know, if you ask Coniskey, you know, top of the league, 6 games to play, and, you know, TNS domination over the last how many years. So I think it's important we go back, we finish the season. You know, I don't think we can just avoid it, but at the same time, it's the way that can be done with then obviously the UEFA places, and then when the next season starts. But more importantly, I think everyone's aware there's more important things at the moment than the football. And, you know, as long as we can, you know, get to the other side and get through this together, that's the main thing at the moment. I'm sure that they'll get something in place when we're out of this to make sure we finish the season somehow, whether it play Tuesday, Saturday for a couple of weeks, I'm not sure.
And as you mentioned, there are bigger things that we all need to concentrate on at this moment, and you've taken a partial lead in that. You have set up a fund, which I know has had contributions from many other Cymru Premier players and other staff and other leagues as well. What motivated you to start up the fund for the NHS?
I think, like we said at the start of the podcast, you know, I've been really busy myself. I'm always on the go, and you know, I'm always around, you know, running football clubs, football sessions, obviously then my football itself. So being quite, you know, with the isolation and being on lockdown, you know, you've got a lot of time on to yourself, and it just kind of, I sat there and, you know, like everyone else on a Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, you know, applauding the NHS. I just thought, what could we do, or is there anything that is Welsh, you know, as in Welsh football could do? So you know, I spoke to a couple of people in the teams, and they were behind it, and they said that, you know, they'd get in touch with their players and put it in WhatsApp groups and what have you, and see how it goes. So once I'd spoke to a few, and that I knew there would be a little, and people say, oh, great idea, I thought, oh, we'll go with this and see how it goes. But yeah, the response has been amazing, and like you said, you know, Barry, Carnarvon, Airbus, I think, you know, they've done big whip rounds for it, Aberystwyth. So yeah, we've made £400 or £500 off them teams, which has been great. Then you've got, you know, individuals putting in, you know, Colin Bay players, manager, Anna Bond, Reese Griffiths, I know he put in, Newtown manager players. So has been a real big mix, and not just the Welsh Prem. Porth Maddock did a whip round as well, the Abertown ladies, Gresford. There was a Ruthin fan, but that's been the good thing. It's not just been players or staff or management staff. It really has been everyone. I think someone from the Kofi Army put some money in, and you know, that shows the togetherness. I mean, it was only a few weeks back I was scoring a hat trick against them, so, and now they're putting money in. So that shows football coming together. And you know, that's what it was all about. Just a thank you from everyone in Welsh football for the work they're doing. And, you know, it's amazing what they are doing, risking their lives. And, you know, we're just told to stay at home. And, you know, it's quite daunting, really, what they have to go through for us. So I just thought anything to give back would be amazing. So I'm quite happy that we're near the 5,000 now, and any more and I'll be over the moon.
Well, absolutely. People should carry on and chip in. Remind me, is there a web link?
There is a link, yeah. It's on my Twitter page and Instagram and things like that, and on my Facebook. Easy to find. And quite a few newspapers have taken it. So if anyone wanted to have a look at and donate, that would be fantastic.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for your time, Mark.
No problem.
Keep happy. Let's hope the kids don't wind you up too much.
I don't know about that.
More importantly, stay safe, and I'm sure we'll see you on a football pitch very soon.